At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode here on Just Glow With It. And if you're new here, welcome. My name is Jasmine. I am a certified life coach, content creator, and the host of this podcast that's dedicated to women in their 20s and 30s who are on a journey of becoming their best selves, creating their dream lives, who love all things self-care, self-improvement, lifestyle, wellness, all that good stuff. So in today's episode, we're having a good old little girl talk, chit chat. I asked you guys over on my Instagram in my broadcast channel if you had any topics or questions for me. And after doing the outline for this episode, I was like, this is giving getting coffee with your girlfriends and having good old girl talk, girl time. So that's what this episode is giving. So get your coffee or your wine or your mocktail or whatever it is that you're drinking and just get cozy because this is going to be a long one. Or better yet, play this in the background while you're cleaning, doing a good reset, cooking, whatever have you, and just enjoy today's conversation. This is honestly just like a feel good conversation full of topics that we all talk about between our girlfriends. We're talking about dating, how to stick to your routine, how to manage anxiety, friendship red flags, self-love, self-worth, all of that good stuff. And I'm really excited to get into this episode. I love having these conversations with my girlfriends, and I am so excited to have this conversation with you. And as always, if you want to continue the conversation, feel free to DM me on Instagram or join our broadcast channel on there as well. And if you do enjoy this episode, I would so appreciate if you could rate and give the podcast a 5-star review so that more people can discover our beautiful little community. And share this episode with anyone who you think may also enjoy this episode. Screenshot this episode, post on your Instagram stories, tag me in it so I can thank you for listening. And that is all I have to say. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
So somebody DM'd me the other day asking how am I doing and how this season of life is treating me. And I thought this would be a good place to kind of kick off today's conversation. And life has been good. I feel like 2024 has gone differently than how I thought it was going to go. And that's not a bad thing. I think the way that this year has unfolded for me, although at times it's been very difficult, it's been frustrating, it's been uncomfortable, all of the things that have happened up until this point have been so necessary and has led me to where I am right now. And where I am right now is me sitting in previous prayers. I am literally living my dream life right now, you guys. I'm literally living the life of my dreams. I was talking about this in my most recent vlog that should be going up today, if you're listening to this on Sunday or sometime this week. I recall a few years ago when I would journal, and I would journal about what my future would look like, what I would like my dream life to look like in the near future. And everything I would write back then, I'm living right now. From the little things like my routines, to how my apartment looked, to my career, to my life, every single thing that I used to pray about, write about, journal about, think about, envision back then, I am currently living right now. And as I said, although 2024 has not gone exactly how I thought it would go, being where I am now, I understand clearly why it did go the way that it did. I understand now why I had to get uncomfortable. I understand now why certain friendships had to end. I understand why I had to go through certain lessons, because it's all led me and prepared me for where I am right now. And I'm so in awe of my life. Like, truly, I have to sit back and just take it all in and be grateful. Remember not to take any of it for granted, because all of this is something that I once really wanted and wasn't sure if I could make possible, and now we're here. So to answer your question, I am doing great. I am sitting in previous prayers. Life has been busy, but in the best way. I'm actually flying out to Miami tomorrow for a very exciting and fun work trip, which I'm excited to bring you guys along with me. I'm still doing my 75 soft challenge. We're nearing the end of week 4 and we're still going very strong. And yes, I will be doing my 75 soft challenge while I'm in Miami. I don't know how I'm going to get it done, but I'm going to get it done. And I've just been living life, enjoying all the opportunities that have been coming my way, staying aligned with myself, trying to stay grounded through it all. Life has been good. I've been good. My mental health has been great. I've been very disciplined and focused. I have felt a little bit overwhelmed at times, but thankfully I have a great support system, and I also have great routines and habits that help me stay grounded and rooted. But I'm good. I'm great. I hope you guys are doing great. I know just from previous conversations with some of you guys that life has been lifing for you in 2024 as well, which is something that, you know, we could relate on. But I really hope that the rest of this year has turned around for you. And if not, I hope that my podcast can continue to be a guiding light for you in some way. Moving along, so a few people asked me if I had any tips on the best ways to stick to a routine or how to be consistent with the fitness plan. And as someone who used to struggle with being consistent, and it's something that I'm still working on, I feel like I've kind of found my formula to being more consistent with my routines. And the first thing that I will say is don't overcomplicate your routines. It doesn't have to be this long, extensive routine, whether it's a fitness routine, a morning routine, evening routine, whatever routine you're trying to stick to. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be long. You don't have to do a million things. I know when I was first creating like a morning routine for myself, I thought my morning routine had to be an hour long. I tried to fit like a million different habits in my routine. And also be so realistic with yourself. If you know you only have 30 minutes before you have to head out the door for work in the morning, please don't try to do an hour, 2 hour long morning routine if you know it's not possible for you to do that. I think it's important to be realistic with your lifestyle, your responsibilities. And as much as I love sharing my own routines and the things that I love to do, I know that my routines are not going to work for somebody else. I am a single woman. Well, I'm not single, but I'm not married, if you know what I mean. I'm a single woman. I don't have any kids. I work from home. I have a very flexible schedule. My routine is not going to work for someone who maybe works a 9-to-5 or someone who is a parent. It just is what it is, and that's okay. So as you're trying to create a routine for yourself, make sure you're being realistic with your lifestyle and with what you have going on versus somebody else. And that kind of leads me to my next point, is finding what works for you and what you like. As I said, when I was first trying to find like a morning routine for myself, I tried to do a million different habits, and some of those habits were things that I didn't even enjoy doing. Because I did not enjoy doing those things, it was hard for me to show up for them. And granted, sometimes, yes, we will have to do things we don't want to do, but there are some things that are just not necessary. Like for me, meditating for an hour every morning, that's not something that I enjoy doing at all. Ever. Maybe I can manage 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, but an hour is not something that I'm going to do. And to try to put that into my routine is setting myself up for failure. So find what works for you, find what you like, and remember that it's not about showing up perfectly. It's just about showing up how you can. When it comes to routine, sometimes you're going to have to do things miserably. You're going to have to do things even when you don't feel like it. And if I only relied on doing my routines or showing up for myself when I felt like it, I would probably only do it 20% of the time, because most of the time I don't want to journal first thing in the morning. I don't want to work out. I don't want to do the things that I know make me feel good. And you have to be mentally stronger to show up and do the things that you don't want to do. And a great way to build that mental strength and kind of get that discipline and motivation, momentum going, is to start a challenge to kind of kickstart your routines. This has definitely helped motivate me. Like you guys have heard me talk about a million times already, I am doing my 75 soft challenge, and the mental strength that I've built since starting this challenge has been like no other. I used to think that I was mentally strong, but doing this challenge has shown me how much more mentally stronger I can be and how much more I'm capable of. If you're someone who is currently struggling to stick to a routine or you're lacking motivation, kickstart it by doing a challenge for yourself. It just does something to really motivate you to stick to it, and maybe give yourself a reward. At the end of the challenge, maybe you'll treat yourself to a nice facial or a nice dinner out or something. Like, just do something to motivate you. Sometimes we need that little boost of motivation in the beginning to keep us going, and then once we get started, we build that momentum up on our own. So that has been what's been most helpful for me to building consistency with my routines, whatever that may be, whether it's fitness, workouts. Okay, I promise we'll get into all the fun topics like dating and things like that in a moment, but I first wanted to answer a question around how to control and manage anxiety that somebody asked me. I just want to preface this by saying I am not a therapist or a doctor. Yes, I am a certified life coach, but I am not licensed to like give mental health advice. So don't take this as professional advice. This is just my personal advice and what I do to manage my anxiety as someone who deals with very mild but very manageable anxiety. So of course, if you deal with more extreme levels of anxiety, this is probably not suffice advice. Just keep that in mind. But anyways, in terms of how I control and manage my own anxiety, I know that this is not always the case, and some situations are definitely more serious than others. But in my experience, I've found that my anxiety is usually caused by me catastrophizing situations, thinking of the worst possible case scenario and acting as if that's what's happening, worrying about things that I cannot control. And that's something that therapy has really helped me recognize, that not every situation is as bad as I'm making it out to be. And this is definitely something that can be hard to overcome, because you have to literally catch yourself in the act of catastrophizing situations and change your behavior and your thoughts right in that moment. And it definitely takes practice, but from personal experience, I will say that the more you practice actively stopping yourself from catastrophizing things, the easier it gets over time. And other things that have really helped me manage my anxiety has been finding the root cause to what is causing my anxiety. And usually a good journal session of just brain dumping my thoughts and my feelings and everything that's on my mind will help me kind of get to the root cause, because once I find what the root cause is, I can then manage it better. Something else that I do is when I am in a more anxious state, I try to help myself by avoiding my triggers that I know make me more anxious. So for me, that is doom scrolling, you know, spending too much time scrolling or too much screen time that really has a negative impact on me, or having coffee on an empty stomach that makes me feel physically ill, or even just like a messy and disorganized space that overwhelms me. And if I'm already anxious, I'm going to be overwhelmed times 100. Something else that really overwhelms me when I'm I'm already feeling anxious is having a super busy and super extensive to-do list. So during times when I am feeling more anxious, if I can, I try to take life real, real slow and pour back into me in the ways that I know how. I'm very thankful that I have the ability to even do that. For example, this week, I've been feeling a little overwhelmed because I have a lot on my to-do list. As I said, I'm leaving to Miami tomorrow, and there are quite a bit of things I need to get done work-wise before my trip. And recording my podcast was one of those things, which literally takes me all day to do. And I actually had a meeting today, and I messaged my boss, and I was like, hey, is it okay if I skip this meeting? I'm just, you know, I have a lot to do. And she was totally fine with it. And I'm so thankful I have such an understanding and supportive boss. But just taking that meeting off of my list just relieved so much stress and overwhelm. And now I have more than enough time to get the podcast done, to get whatever I need to get done before my trip. And I can go into my trip feeling like good and just ready for our work trip. So I definitely like to take things a lot slow. I like to adjust where I can in terms of my to-do list, pour back into me, whether that's cooking, my routines, working out, doing more self-care, whatever are the things that make me feel good. I just try to focus on those things and not worry about things that are not as important. So I know this is very like surface level advice, but as I said, I have very mild anxiety. It's very, very rare that I suffer from uncontrollable anxiety. I think I felt that maybe like once or twice this year, and that's because I was dealing with like very serious family issues. But for the most part, my anxiety is very manageable. So this is really all I can give just from my perspective. But of course, if your anxiety is a lot worse, I do suggest talking with someone who is more equipped to giving you the proper tools and resources for your anxiety. Okay, now we can move on to the more lighthearted, fun topics. That's one thing that I love about my podcast and just about who I am as a person is I can have these deep, really meaningful conversations about really important topics, but then I can also talk about like fun, cute, girly things. I love that about this podcast. So moving on to just more lighthearted conversations. Somebody asked me if I can share all the ways that I'm currently investing in myself, both internally and externally. And I think I touched on this in my last episode, but I can quickly share on here. So internally, all the things that I've been doing for my mental health, my well-being. Therapy has always been a big one. I stopped going recently. I go through seasons where I feel like I need it or when I feel like I'm good. And right now I'm in a place where I feel like I'm good. I don't really need it at the moment, but therapy has always been a huge way that I've invested in myself. Other ways that I invest in myself internally is through journaling daily. I journal every single day. I also read my daily devotional every single day. I usually also love listening to podcasts, especially when I'm cleaning or doing errands, working out on my walks. But I haven't been listening to as many podcasts lately because the very, very few ones that I do like to listen to, they haven't really been posting during the summertime. So if you guys have any recommendations for your favorite podcasts, I am looking for more podcasts to add into my rotation. So please send them my way. And as far as externally, some of the things that I've been doing to invest in myself, of course, have been getting my 10K steps in daily. We have been getting 10K steps every single day for the last month, basically. And that's thanks to my challenge. Doing Pilates a few times a week. As far as like beauty maintenance things, getting my nails and brows done consistently, okay? My nails are something that I just always have to have done. That's just a me thing. I know everyone is different, but that's just what I like to do. I started adding facials back into my monthly maintenance routine. I actually am getting a facial today, which I'm so excited for. And then also just like investing in things that make me feel good, whether it's clothes, makeup, beauty things, things that make me elevate physically as well. So those are just some of the ways that I've been investing in myself. And as I add more things into my maintenance routines, I'll definitely share them with you guys. There are a few other things that I've been wanting to do, and I'm really excited for when the time comes for those things. But at the moment, these are the things that I'm doing to invest in myself. Okay, the next topic that I want to touch on. We're just like getting through all the topics that I feel like you just talk about with your girlfriends, but I love it. Okay, so the next topic is, what are some of my friendship red flags? And this is actually a topic that I've wanted to touch on recently, because as a late 20-year-old, I feel like what I consider red flags now is so different than back in my early 20s. And that's just because I'm a completely different person. I value different things. I require different things from my friendships. So this is something that I've actually wanted to touch on. But my first friendship red flag, and I know this might tickle some feathers. I think that's the saying. Wait, tickle some feathers. I don't know. I probably just butchered that. Ruffle some feathers. Oh my gosh. I said tickle some feathers. This might ruffle some feathers, but sometimes, yeah. Anyways, you guys know what I meant. But my first friendship red flag is women who are male-centered. And I know this is a very like hot topic on social media, but truly, truly, this is what I feel. Women who are male-centered do not make good friends. And this is coming from someone who is in a relationship. Okay, I'm not anti-men. I don't hate men. I don't think all men are trash. I really don't. I have an amazing man, and I know plenty of other women in my life who also have amazing men. So this isn't an anti-men bashing session, okay? As someone who's in a relationship and as someone who has been friends with women who are so extremely male-centered, I have experienced firsthand the terrible friendships that women who are male-centered make, okay? These are women who will put you in dangerous situations all for the sake of a man. These are women who use you as placeholders until they get into the next relationship, until they have attention from another man. These are women who will often see you as competition because they view everything from a lens of trying to get a man, keep a man, and every other woman around them is a competition. As someone who is at the place in their life that they're at, I truly cannot and will not be friends with women who are male-centered. That's just a boundary of mine. Again, this is coming from someone who is in a relationship. And as much as I love my partner, as much as this relationship is probably the most important relationship to me in my life, other than the relationship with myself, it's not my whole world. It's not my entire existence. I am a woman who has different interests, who is complex, who has more to me than my relationship. And when I'm with my friends, the last thing I truly want to talk about is my relationship, not because of anything, but because I have more important things or more exciting things that I rather share and talk about. And just being around male-centered women is honestly emotionally draining and exhausting as well. But that's just a personal one for me. I know I went kind of in for a second, but truly just from personal experience, I have found that male-centered women make the worst friends. My next friendship red flag is someone who gives jabs disguised as jokes. Listen, I am someone who can take a joke, okay? I grew up getting roasted my entire life. I just am at a place in my life where I don't appreciate jokes that are at my expense, jokes that are made to make me feel less than, jokes that are made to make me feel dumb. We can joke, we can ha-ha, we can hee-hee. Sometimes there are people who will say slick things, who will be petty, and then when you get offended, oh, it's just a joke, oh, I'm just joking, oh, you know, relax, take a joke. No. I don't want friends who are constantly taking jabs at me and then hiding their hands. I personally want friendships where I feel uplifted, I feel supported, I feel loved, I feel seen, I feel safe. I do not want friendships where I have to question the other person's intentions. Another friendship red flag for me are people who have main character syndrome. There is a fine line between having main character syndrome, which I think can be used in a positive way, and then being an extremely self-centered, selfish, egotistical person. And it's a very, very, very fine line. We all are the main characters in our own lives, right? We all have our own individual stories, our own lives, our own journeys, and we all are the main character. But the problem is when you go through life, when you navigate your friendships thinking that you are the main character in everybody else's life as well. And that's just not how it works. And I cannot be friends with people who think they are the main character in their life and in my life, because you absolutely are not. Another friendship red flag for me, and this is actually like a recent red flag that I've added to my list of friendship red flags, but it's people who have clout chasing tendencies. When it comes to clout chasing and people clout chasing off of you, something I realized is you do not have to have a million followers. You don't have to be like the most popular person on the internet. You don't have to be like super famous for people to want to clout chase off of you. I guess a better word for clout chasing tendencies would be like opportunists, people who are opportunists. And my naive self, when I got into this space, I didn't think people would want to clout chase off me or could clout chase off me because I don't have a million followers. I don't have the biggest podcast. Like I don't, like in my mind, people clout chase off people who are like have a million followers on Instagram, who are super, super successful and are well known. No, not at all. What I've learned is if people who are opportunists feel that they can benefit off of you, benefit from you, they will befriend you and get what they need to get from you. Now I'm just more aware of people's intentions. I'm more mindful. I'm not as naive as I used to be. And I realize that not everyone has the same heart as me. Not everyone has the same intentions as I do. Another friendship red flag for me, which I think is a very common one, are friends who don't support you. One thing that I value within my friendships is I want my friends to be my biggest cheerleaders, and I want to be the biggest cheerleaders for my friends. I truly believe that your friends should be the people who are clapping the loudest for you, who are the happiest for you, and vice versa, of course. Like, it isn't just about them supporting you, but you also have to be a supportive friend, because why else are they your friends? Why are we having friends that don't cheer for us, that don't support us, that aren't there for us for the good and the bad times? And I feel like if a friend isn't supporting you, are they really a friend? To me, that's not giving friend. That's giving something else, but not friend. And then my last friendship red flag, which is also a recent lesson that I've had to learn, is someone who is judgmental towards the way you live your life just because it's different from theirs. I think there's a fine line with this one. Obviously, if you are going down a very harmful, a very toxic path and your friends have something to say about that, that's one thing, okay? I feel like that's just your friends having your back, wanting the best for you. So I'm not talking about that. I'm more so talking about the people who judge you because maybe you don't want the same things as them, or you don't believe in the same things that they believe in, or maybe you just live your life in a completely different way. You're not hurting anyone. You're not doing anything harmful. It's not a toxic way of living. You just live your life a different way than they do. And I think where the red flag comes in is when they feel the need to always impose their thoughts and their beliefs onto you in your life. And I just feel like we're too grown for that. I don't have to like what you like. I don't have to live my life the way you do. I don't have to believe in the things that you believe in. I don't know. Like, we're grown. I think we're at the point where we all know who we are as people for the most part. We know what we don't want, what we don't like. Personally, for me, I have friends of all walks of life. I have friends who are Christian. I have friends who are Muslim. I have friends who are more spiritual. I have friends who are moms. I have friends who never want kids. I have friends who are entrepreneurs, content creators. I have friends who work regular 9-to-5 jobs. I literally have friends of all walks of life, and I've never felt the need to impose my beliefs or my way of living onto them, because this is my life and this is how I want to live it, and how they want to live it is different. And of course, it's a different situation if like a friend comes to me and asks me for advice on something, or they want my input, then of course that's different. But I'm not just going to impose my own beliefs or opinions onto someone else in their life when it literally has nothing to do with me. I'm finding that I don't want to be friends who are judgmental towards the way I live my life or the things that I want out of life just because it's something that they don't agree with or it's something that is different than theirs. Okay, I had to take a second for that one because I felt very passionate about the topic of friendship red flags just because it's been a very prominent theme in my life as of recently. Before, I never really used to have boundaries when it came to my friendships or expectations, but now the more that I grow into myself as a woman, I value myself so much more, and as a result, that has impacted the way that I view relationships, friendships, and every aspect of my life. So I just feel very passionate about this topic. But speaking of growing into a woman, somebody did ask me if I could speak on how I balance my feminine and masculine energy as a woman. And I think this is a great topic. This is something that I spent my entire 20s trying to balance and heal within myself, but I'll kind of summarize here. Now, as a 29-year-old woman, I feel like I have not a perfect balance because I don't think that really exists, but I do have an ideal balance that I try to aim for. And what I will say is that when it comes to feminine and masculine energy, that is within us all. We all have masculine and energy within us. And depending on your experiences, your circumstances, you might naturally lean more on one side than the other. For me, most of my life, I have been in a very heavy masculine energy, a wounded masculine energy at that, which a wounded masculine energy looks like being super hyper independent, having an unhealthy obsession with success, being very defensive, being critical, being cold. And that really affected my life, my relationships with myself and with others. And my entire 20s, I've been trying to learn how to tap into my feminine energy more and also how to learn how to have more of a healthy masculine energy within me, because masculine energy, although it gets a bad rep, it's not all bad. Both masculine and feminine energies are necessary. It's just sometimes when we lean too much into one, it can become a negative thing. I'm not going to get too into it in this episode because this episode is already really long, but you can definitely look up the traits of what a healthy and unhealthy masculine and feminine energy look like, what the traits are, and you might be able to resonate with one of those four. But when it comes to balancing my feminine and masculine energy, I first had to heal the wounded aspect of me, which for me, it was being too much in my masculine energy. And I had to learn how to not be so hyper independent. I had to change my relationship with success and what it meant to me. I had to learn how to not be so defensive all the time, how to be more soft. And I had to realize that both energies are necessary at different times and different situations. Some examples of like when I tap into my masculine energy are when I'm planning or strategizing business things, or the way that I show up to a business meeting is going to be so different than how I show up in my romantic relationships. And some ways that I tap into my feminine energy more are when I'm creating, whether it's creating content, creating a design, creating a meal. That is more of my feminine energy. And this is just like a rough idea of what healing and balancing my feminine and masculine energy as a woman looks like. I definitely go more in depth in older episodes. I think it was like a year or two ago where I talked about this topic because it was like a very prominent theme in my life at that time. Okay, so now I want to get into what I'm sure a lot of you guys are wanting to hear, and that's just my dating advice, self-love, self-worth advice. I got a few questions asking if I could share what I would tell my younger self when it comes to love, relationships, and also how to find self-love, self-worth. And somebody told me, not in like a practical sense, but just more, I think what they meant is like words of encouragement and not necessarily like practical tips, like tip one, do this, tip two, do this. So at least that's what I'm thinking. So I thought I would kind of group these two together because I truly believe that the relationships that you have with others, it all starts with yourself and loving yourself. And as someone who went from genuinely disliking themselves, hating themselves, to genuinely loving themselves and continuing on this path of self-love, I feel like I have a thing or two I can share when it comes to this topic of just self-love, finding self-worth. And if I could go back when it comes to love and dating, again, like when it comes to the way that I view friendships now, how I view relationships and how I show up in them is so different than compared to my early 20s. And it's because now I've learned to truly value and love myself first. And that's my first piece of advice when it comes to self-love, self-worth, and just dating in general, is learn to truly value and love yourself first and foremost. There's a saying, and I'm sure you've heard it, is we accept the love we think we deserve. And it's absolutely true. In my early 20s, I did not love myself. I did not know how to love myself. I did not value myself. I did not have any standards for myself. And because of that, I accepted things that I shouldn't have, but it's because those were the things that I thought I was worthy of, which at the time was not much. It wasn't even the bare minimum. It wasn't even decent respect, if I'm completely honest. And if I could go back and tell my younger self anything, it's learn to love you. Truly learn to have standards for yourself. Learn to value yourself and your worth. Yes, I've been on this journey throughout my entire 20s, but I feel like this year that I've turned 29, this is the first time where I truly feel my worth. All the other times, like, I would say, yeah, I'm worthy. Yeah, I'm deserving of X, Y, and Z. But this is the first time where I truly believe it. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what that turning point was for me where I actually started to believe the things that I have been telling myself throughout my entire 20s, or that I've been trying to accept. But you know, when you truly believe the words that you're telling yourself, when you truly believe in yourself and in your worth, it's this internal feeling that I can't describe, but it's so powerful. It's so, so powerful. And now that I value and love myself and I truly believe it, I treat myself so much better. I treat myself with so much more respect. And as a result, I require others to treat me in that same respect. What I tolerate now is so very little. It's so low. And some people might see this as having very strict boundaries, or as being too much, or my standards are too high. And I say your standards are too low, because why would I accept anything less than what I know I'm worthy of? I'm worthy of people respecting my time, because my time is valuable. I value being treated with respect, with dignity. I know my energy is so sacred. I know my energy is powerful, and I know that not everyone is deserving of my energy. It's just something, when you really know your worth and your value, you just move so differently. You don't even have to say that you're worthy and you're valuable. I know that I just spoke on it, but it's because I'm sharing my advice. But when you truly radiate from a place of self-worth and self-love, it shows. People feel it without you having to say it. They feel it in your energy, and they treat you accordingly. So that would be the first thing that I would tell my younger self when it comes to just life in general, not just dating specifically. And the next thing that I would tell myself is never let a man, or anybody for that matter, okay, not just a man, never let anyone be the determining factor for anything you do or don't do in life. I'm very proud of myself for never letting anyone be the reason to stop me from doing something I really wanted to do, or force myself to do something I didn't want to do. But I have seen so many people in my life, women specifically, around me put their dreams on hold, put their goals aside, all because of a man. I wonder who they would be and how different life might be for them if they did do those things. And that's a big reason why I'm very passionate about not letting anyone, especially a man, be the reason why I hold back on something I really want to do. Something that I would tell my younger self is, if you want to move to a new city but the person you're with doesn't want to, go move. Or if you want to start a new career, a hobby, a business, but the person you're with, or your friends, or your family has reservations, or they don't think it's a good idea, go do that thing. No one knows what's best for you more than you. If there is something that's on your heart, whether it's an idea, a decision, a project, it's on your heart for a reason. It's not just a silly idea. It's not just a silly thought. You were given that thought, that idea for a reason, and it's up to you to do something with that thought. When I first got the thought of starting a podcast, I could have easily looked at that as just a silly little idea. Oh, just something I'm thinking about. But imagine had I not acted on that thought, you would not be listening to this podcast right now. We would not have the community that we have. My life would not look the way that it does. Everything would be so different had I not acted on this one little thought of starting a podcast. And isn't that insane to think about? How one little decision can change your entire life. The next piece of advice that I would give myself is believe actions over words. This advice not only applies to dating, but I feel it applies to life in general. People can say all the right things. People will tell you everything you want to hear, you need to hear, but their actions will tell you exactly how they feel about you. And another thing that I would tell myself is don't overcomplicate things. In my early 20s, I would try to dissect and analyze every text, every conversation, question if they meant this when they really said this, and try to find the hidden meaning behind what they meant. And if I could go back, I would tell myself to just take things as face value. If someone is giving you mixed signals or has you feeling confused, then that tells you what you need to know. People show you exactly how they feel about you all the time. And there's so much more I could say when it comes to the topic of dating and also self-love and self-worth. But again, I have touched on these topics more thoroughly in previous podcast episodes. So if you want like a deeper dive, a more in-depth conversation around this, just look at my older episodes, you guys. Like I really have a ton of that. But this is just more like a summarized version of my thoughts around self-love, dating, things like that. And to kind of end off today's episode, somebody did ask me if I had any fall plans, my fall bucket list, things like that. And yes, I do. I am so excited. As soon as I land back from Miami, I'm going straight into fall mode. Okay. I don't care what the temperature is outside. I am going into fall mode. I have already started planning my fall bucket list. I have started saving things that I want to do during the fall time, recipes I want to make, all that cozy goodness. But I think I'm going to save that for another episode or video closer to the fall time, like when I get back from my trip. That I feel like it'll be September, so we'll be more in the fall spirit. At least I will be. So I am saving that conversation for another time. But yes, girl, I'm so excited. Like I seriously cannot wait. And I've never really been like a super big fall obsessed person, but for some reason this year I want all the fall coziness of it all. But that is all I have to say for today's little girl chat, chit chat. I know this one was a little bit like all over the place and we touched on a lot of different topics, but like I said, this episode was giving very much getting coffee with your girls and talking about all the things. And I don't know about you guys, but when I hang with my girls, when I chat with them, we literally talk about a million different topics in one girl session. So this was very much that. But I really hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you did, I would so appreciate if you could screenshot this episode, post it on your Instagram stories, tag me in it so I can thank you for listening. And be sure to rate and review the podcast so that more people can discover this podcast. If you're interested in trying out any of our sponsors for today's episode, as always, the link to everything will be in the show notes. That is all I have to say. As always, until next time, remember to just glow with it.